The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, March 30th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the last day for discounted room rates for the Normal 40th Annual National Conference in Denver, Colorado. Get logged on right now at normal.org/conference so you can still get these discounted room rates. They're selling doubles for the price of a single, and there's only a few rooms left. You can call 888-421-1442 or just go to normal.org/conference. We got so much stuff in today's show, we better get right to it. First of all, he's back and better than ever from his tour of the new marijuana stores in Oregon, Ganja John.
Yes, I did do some touring.
Yes. Now we've got a wire in your camera shot. We're going to have to do something about that. We've rewired the studio a little bit, and now I just realized we've got a wire in John's shot, so we have
it's
to fix that.
It's not very professional. Sorry, guys.
Not very good. We do what we can.
Yeah.
Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Now, Cannabis Carrie will be off tomorrow because she's coming down here to Portland. And then Ganja John will be off Friday because he's leaving here to go to Denver.
Right.
So Cannabis Carrie will be in studio Friday. We're looking forward to it, Carrie.
Yeah, I'll be messing with all those audio knobs. It'll be lots of fun.
All right. We got all sorts of stuff, like I said, on today's show coming up. We've got some music from DJ Scuddy called Cannabis. That's coming from Grateful Dead for Irie Wednesday. At half past, of course, it's Wednesday, so we'll be speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and answering your live calls and questions on cannabis science. He's got a couple of studies to tell us about as well. And then, so gracious, at 45 after the hour, Diane Fornbacher, who we tried to get on the show yesterday, she's the vice chair of the Normal Women's Alliance. She'll be joining us. She was in the audience for that Dr. Oz show on medical marijuana, if you caught that yesterday. She's going to tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes and some of the stuff you didn't see on that show. But before we get to all that, we do our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Well, we've got a couple of follow-ups. First on the Willie Nelson bust, a follow-up on what is going on up in Montana. And since it is Health Wednesday, a study that came out that wasn't too favorable for some marijuana patients.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Plus, another look at the cancer.gov website and how they have now, we've got an update here, they have scrubbed the reference to the anti-tumoral effects of cannabinoids just a week after having proclaimed it. I've got the screenshots for you and more details about it. Coming up next on Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
If I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Straub.
And federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We were there when 11 states decriminalized marijuana use.
Seems like such a simple message, just say no.
We were there as mandatory minimums were enacted and the drug czar was invented.
And I didn't like it and didn't inhale and never tried it again.
We were there for medical marijuana legalization in 15 states.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual national conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Straub. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Reports surfaced earlier this week that Willie Nelson's 2010 November marijuana bust might end up in him singing in the courtroom for his freedom. Media outlets from right here on the Stash to the AP, CNN, and NBC all reported that Willie might be playing the judge's favorite song, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, in the courtroom to get out of jail time. The prosecutor in the case, lifelong Nelson fan Kit Bramblett, was quoted by saying of the suspicious charge of 6 ounces, that after the packaging was removed amounted to just 3 ounces, the cutoff to still be a misdemeanor, was because he and the sheriff spilled some or smoked enough so that Willie would remain in their jurisdiction. Now, Kit Bramblett said that the whole thing was a joke. He was trying to be funny, and the whole thing just got out of hand. Nelson was caught with what is now being reported as a, quote, small amount of cannabis on his tour bus as he rode through a Texas checkpoint. Bramblett told reporters that the case could be sorted out if Nelson pleaded guilty, paid a fine, and sang an acoustic version of Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain in the courtroom with his famous guitar, Trigger. The judge in the case, Judge Becky Dean Walker, clarified for us today that Nelson can go ahead and plead guilty by mail like everyone else caught with a misdemeanor amount of cannabis. He'll pay a fine and he won't have to sing a note. Willie Nelson is on the advisory board of Normal and is an outspoken advocate of legalizing cannabis for responsible adults. When Nelson's paperwork came across the desk of Judge Dean Walker, she told Prosecutor Bramblett to go ahead and call the singer to her court, an action that he promptly did. Willie Nelson has been cited 3 times for marijuana possession in the last decade and also had a moonshine charge back in January while his tour bus was searched in North Carolina. For his part, Nelson stayed out of the singing in court media blitz by offering no comment.
Smart move, Willie. It was just a joke. We were just kidding. Cops don't really take evidence out of the lockers or pinch a bud now and then from weed. That's ridiculous. We're surprised that you would even think such a thing, that we'd have to come out and tell you that was a joke. I mean, gosh, it's so absurd to think of police removing marijuana from the evidence and reducing it from 6 ounces to 3 ounces. That never happens.
Lawmakers in Montana missed a deadline for Senate Bill 423 yesterday. Senate Bill 423 is the comprehensive overhaul that legislators hoped would rein in the booming medical marijuana industry in the state. The bill's sponsor, Republican Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman, had hoped that the measure would reduce the number of legal marijuana users from the current of more than 28,000 to about 2,000. Advocates in Montana were facing more than one outright repeal bill, but neither of those made it to the floor. Now the regulation legalization bill looks like it may be in trouble as well. There was no current cost estimate following some sweeping last-minute changes to the bill, a requirement for proposed legislation. Now the bill will need a two-thirds majority vote today to clear the chamber instead of the simple majority had it not missed the procedural deadline. Given the strong opinions of the voters and the amount of calls that legislators are getting from patients and patient advocates, the bill that once looked like an easy sweep may have problems getting the 34 votes it now needs. Even on the side of those against medical marijuana in Montana, many legislatures have said that they will vote on nothing short of a full repeal of the program. Many Democrats that at one time looked like they may be in favor of the measure are now against the bill as well, since it has become overly restrictive and poorly put together. Adding to the uncertainty of the medical marijuana program in Montana is the recent federal raids that were targeting medical marijuana businesses with the help of local law enforcement. If the regulation measure makes it past the Senate, it will face the Montana House Republicans, who say they are more focused on repealing the law, not regulating it further. The bill is full of amendments from the original draft. It now would remove certain qualifying conditions, make dispensaries illegal, and require police notification before any medical cannabis is transferred from a grower to a patient. Democrat Senator Mary Cafaro said the measure has lost her support because it now goes beyond regulating the industry by blocking legitimate patients from using medical cannabis legally. Some Democrats have said that a repeal question should be posed to the voters of Montana instead of handled by the legislatures. The bill ran into problems when a Senate subcommittee tried to craft too many last-minute compromises while dealing with House Republican leaders who strongly endorse repeal efforts. The financial estimate is available today, and the measure is currently being considered. If you haven't contacted your representatives in Montana, now is the time. We need you to do that. If you have already contacted them, please call them and tell them again how you feel about Senate Bill 423 and how it would turn 28,000 lawful Montana citizens into criminals.
Yeah, this bill would have literally decimated Montana's medical marijuana rolls. Decimated literally means to reduce by a factor of 10, you know, to bring to 10% what something used to be, right? And they wanted to bring this down from 28,000 patients to somewhat a little bit more than 2,000. Here's how they were going to do that. This is from the bill. They would have severe chronic pain documented or defined as the patient's primary care physician and a specialist with expertise in the disease that is causing the pain. So you got to get two doctors to say that you got chronic pain, and then objective proof of the etiology of the pain, including diagnostic tests that include but are not limited to the results of x-ray, computerized tomography scan, or magnetic resonance imaging, MRIs. So now, not only do you have to go to two doctors to get your pain verified, but then you got to foot the bill for expensive scans and tests. And furthermore, they wanted to redefine it so that you had to have a bona fide professional relationship with a patient. This is your primary care doctor that has existed for at least 6 months and has included at least four visits at which the patient's debilitating medical condition was reviewed or assessed. So now you got to see a doctor, two different doctors. Your primary doctor, you have to have seen him for at least 6 months, and then you have to have seen him for at least four visits, right? So four doctor visits to your primary doctor, and you got to pay for all those scans and tomography, and you got to go to the specialist, and then maybe we'll give you some medical marijuana. Oh, but if you want OxyContin, your doctor can just sign right here.
And a new study that has been making the news outlets came out on Monday from some Canadian researchers that has concluded that cannabis might not be the best treatment for multiple sclerosis, the disease that Montel Williams suffers from. Although they say that it does relieve pain and muscle spasticity symptoms associated with MS, they say they found that using cannabis clouds the thinking skills of MS patients. The Canadian researchers studied two groups of 25 people between the ages of 18 and 65 with MS, an autoimmune disease that attacks the central nervous system and can lead to paralysis, cognitive problems, and a host of other sensory and functional deficits. One group used marijuana heavily, while the other group reported no marijuana use for many years. Patients using cannabis performed significantly worse on cognitive tests measuring attention, thinking speeds, executive function, and visual perception of spatial relationships between objects, according to the study's authors. Users were also twice as likely to be classified as globally cognitively impaired, meaning that they failed at least two of 11 various assessments. The study was published in the March 29th issue of Neurology, and data suggests that between 36% and 43% of them MS patients have smoked marijuana at some time. And according to the study, a substantial minority Find cannabis relieves pain, insomnia, spasticity, tremors, bladder problems, and emotional distress. Between 40% and 60% of MS patients are cognitively impaired to begin with, according to Dr. Anthony Feinstein. But study participants using marijuana scored about one-third lower on a sensitive test of information processing speed than non-users. A total of 72% of users reported smoking pot daily, while 24% reported weekly use. Now, the study's author, Dr. Anthony Feinstein, is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto, and he said that he was concerned because of the cannabis movement touting medical cannabis as being a benign drug. He said that the results of his study should be a wake-up call to the potential effects of long-term and heavy use of marijuana in people that have MS. He noted that his study could not conclude that marijuana use causes clouded thinking, only that the two were linked. He said the research could not be randomized because scientists cannot assign participants to ingest a potentially harmful drug, but said that the researchers did carefully match the user and control groups and the cognitive evaluations done on both. He said that clouded thinking, quote, is a potentially very devastating side effect and a high price to pay for whatever relief is being provided. Feinstein added that it is a familiar dilemma with many drugs, that the side effects are worse than the symptoms.
Well, we'll definitely dig into this one with Dr. Mitch at half past the hour and ask him what he thinks about this study. I've got a few opinions, but we'll start with Dr. Mitch. Let's get to some more news. I've got a story that I've just posted up on the Examiner and Huffington Post. You may remember last Wednesday on the Stash blog, we pointed out that the National Cancer Institute, which has a website, cancer.gov, funded by the National Institutes of Health, updated their general information page on cannabis, and it was a pretty amazing admission. And I've got the screen capture right here for you that I'll show you from the cancer.gov website. That part highlighted in red there, I'll read it to you. The potential benefits of medicinal cannabis for people living with cancer include anti-emetic effects, appetite stimulation, pain relief, and improved sleep. Now, here's the important part. In the practice of integrative oncology, the healthcare provider may recommend medicinal cannabis not only for symptom management, but also for its possible direct anti-tumor effect. Recommending cannabis for cancer for its direct anti-tumor effect. Now, we were stunned by this, of course, because we've heard from so long from the federal government that cannabis is a Schedule I drug with no accepted medical use in the United States. I mean, never mind that 15 U.S. states and Washington, D.C. have accepted the medical use of marijuana, or that 4 U.S. citizens continue to receive federal medical marijuana grown on a U.S. government farm and distributed by a federal program, or the DEA has suggested that natural plant-derived THC be redefined as medical so long as a pharmaceutical company is selling it and not a gardener, or the federal government has registered patent number 6630507 as cannabinoids as neuroprotectants. Never mind that. Medical marijuana has no medical efficacy, according to the federal government. So we were stunned that we got this from the National Cancer Institute on their website, saying that it could be used for its possible direct anti-tumor effect. Now, it's not as if the National Cancer Institute didn't know about the anti-tumoral properties of cannabis. In 1975, in their own journal of the National Cancer Institute, they published a study called The Antineoplastic Activity of Cannabinoids, which noted, and this is a quote from the study, animals treated for 10 consecutive days with Delta-9 THC beginning the day after tumor implantation demonstrated a dose-dependent action of retarded tumor growth. Paul Armentano has compiled nearly 39 footnotes worth of citations on research in cancer on cannabinoids and showing the anti-tumoral effect. But no, now the federal government, as of, I believe, yesterday, has scrubbed the website of the National Cancer Institute and changed it, removing the part about the direct anti-tumoral effects of cannabis and replacing it with much more careful language that reads, in part, the potential benefits of medicinal cannabis for people living with cancer include anti-emetic effects, appetite stimulation, pain relief, and improved sleep, which was what it said before. Here's where the change comes. Though no relevant surveys of practice patterns exist, well, they do, it appears that physicians caring for cancer patients who prescribe medicinal cannabis predominantly do so for symptom management. Nothing about the anti-tumoral effects. Now, this flies in direct opposition to the Obama administration's memo of March 9th, 2009, memorandum for the heads of executive departments and agencies on the subject of scientific integrity, where President Obama wrote, "Science and the scientific process must inform and guide decisions of my administration administration on a wide range of issues, including improvement of public health, protection of the environment, increased efficiency, use of energy and other resources, mitigation of the threat of climate change, and protection of national security. The public must be able to trust the science and scientific process informing public policy decisions. Political officials should not suppress or alter scientific or technical findings and conclusions. Mr. Obama, the science is in on cannabis's potential as an anti-cancer agent and its anti-tumoral properties, and for once, the National Cancer Institute was using it to inform public policy. It is a shame and a disgrace to find your administration using the same tactics as your predecessor to whitewash politically uncomfortable science.
Mini rant, nice.
Yeah, mini rant on the news. We're going to get more into that. Ryan Grimm from Huffington Post has an expose on how this happened and some of the emails from behind the scenes. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Greetings and happy spring, gang. This is Grateful Dread coming at you from the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio in Summit, New Jersey. This Irie Wednesday brings a buoyant, electronically inspired track by Sweden's DJ Scuddy. There's not much information to be found on this young man. It appears he is as underground and DIY as they come, which is kind of cool. On his YouTube page, 20-year-old Scuddy paints himself as a multi-genre mixmaster and DJ. He mashes together bits of reggae, electro, progressive house, happy hardcore, hip-hop, and more to create songs that strangely leave me feeling kind of irie. Your mileage may vary, but this is some cool stuff. He states explicitly that his interest is la musica. And clearly, if one checks out his videos on YouTube, he loves the herb as well. I look forward to seeing what this young man will be putting out 20 years from now. But you don't have to wait to hear him. A number of Scuddy cuts can be heard and seen on YouTube. And one of his reggae dancehall tunes is part of the Black House Music compilation LP, Bogolji Rhythm. You can find it on iTunes. And we have it for you today on Normal Show Live. Enjoy it, my friends. This is DJ Scuddy. And cannabis.
Hey yo, everybody, speak dedicace to the female, the ganja. Les mêmes dans Sud-Est-Ouest. La police veut nous stopper, elle veut pas qu'on fume. Hey, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. On sait que vous mentez sur le cannabis. Fume la tiens, sans pas stresser. Elle fait tousser, le mix meuf fait compresser. Là, mon joint passe deux, trois sont blessés. Les yeux plissés, je sais que vous connaissez. Big up les Weedman, big up les Ganjaman. On existe depuis long time avant JC. On aime voir les champs de chanvre quand l'herbe de la montagne, c'est la meilleure qualité. L'herbe peut t'habiller, t'éduquer, te faire méditer et t'aide à mieux communiquer. Bénis le corps avec l'encens, c'est pas compliqué. Passe-moi une feuille de la weed et un briquet. Il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Hey, j'ai la même dame en rouge que Guy Allen. Donne-moi la pile rouge, donne-moi la Sensi. Le Mency, qui a un goût de mango tea. Qui fait la colle et qui a un goût de fruit. Le Zamal, qui a un goût de lecci. Pacalolo, c'est la zèbre de Tahiti. Mixé avec un peu d'Ali d'Haïti. Un déchant, retour de San Éthiopie. Touche pas le crap, fais pas comme le jumpy. Faut pas tourner dans la cam, fais pas comme le jumpy. Petit fume de l'herbe, laisse pousser tes quinquies. T'as pas l'école, les plus laisse t'esprit. Il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. You see, dis comme si ton papa fume, ta maman fume, ta grand-mère fume, dis comme si ton grand-père fume. Arrête de croire que c'est qui fume, sont dans la lune, nerf, t'es une meute, une infime, une coutume. Guérilla te fait cracher ton rhume, d'intégrer des lyrics, inspiration sur ta plume. Je fume, oui je l'assume, l'herbe est moins dangereuse que les cigarettes, oui je t'assure. Il faut la propagande sur le cannabis, donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. On sait que vous mentez sur le cannabis. Fume la tiens, sois pas stressé, elle fait tousser, le mix meuf fait compresser. Là mon joint passe deux, trois sont blessés. Les yeux plissés, je sais que vous connaissez. Big up les Weedman, big up les Ganjaman. On existe depuis long time avant JC. On aime voir les champs de chanvre en quantité. L'herbe de la montagne, c'est la meilleure qualité. L'herbe peut t'habiller, t'éduquer, te faire méditer et t'aide à mieux communiquer. Bénis le corps avec l'encens, c'est pas compliqué. Passe-moi une feuille de la weed et un briquet. Il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. On sait que vous mentez sur le cannabis. Il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. Donc tant que vous mentez sur le cannabis, il faut la propagande sur le cannabis. Donc tant que les gens fument du cannabis, Babylone veut nous enfermer pour du cannabis. On sait que vous mentez sur le cannabis.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes of the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Yo, what's good? This is B-Real of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, folks, we always look forward to this time of the week. We get the straight dope from our own Dr. Mitch Earlywine of SUNY Albany. Dr. Mitch, how are you?
Having a great day.
Oh, good to hear it. Good to hear it. You know, Carrie did the news earlier today, and toward the end of her report, she reported on this Canadian study with the MS patients saying it may cause a clouded sort of thinking. Did you get a chance to look at that, and what do you think of that study?
Here's the bottom line. The study is done very well, but I want everyone to understand what they're really measuring here. They're not measuring clouded thinking. They've got over a dozen statistical tests they've done, and some of them are showing significant difference between the users and the non-users. But let me explain some of these tasks. So they're saying, oh, the people aren't processing information as fast. The task they use is called the Passat 3 and the Passat 2. Basically, single digits come out at you, and you're supposed to add them up as I tell them. So imagine every 2 seconds I say 6, 4, 9, right? And you're supposed to keep adding as you go. And yes, the cannabis users are a little slow or not as accurate at that. Then they have this symbol digit thing where basically you've got a little symbol and you're supposed to write the digit, right? And then they have these measures of executive function that may or may not be related to current cannabis use. Children of alcoholics tend to do a little worse on them. They could have had some pre-morbid problems with this. But to jump from this to saying, hey, medical cannabis is going to cloud your mind, no, medical cannabis might make you slower at adding numbers or in putting numbers in boxes. So the idea that somehow relieving suffering with cannabis is going to turn you into this retarded zombie, which is what I'm afraid the media are implying here, is not the case. You're going to add slower, and maybe you'll write symbols slower. So I really don't want people to make more of this than it is.
That's really good to hear too, because every time when we get these studies that are measuring these mental acuity things, I always pause on that and wonder, you know, are we measuring something that's really wrong with someone's brain, or are we measuring the inability to pass a certain test? And it sounds like that's what we're getting here.
I mean, whose job requires you add numbers really fast? I mean, yeah, if you're trying to be the fastest accountant in the world, you're not going to make it. Sorry.
Exactly. Another thing we like to do here, and again, we'll be taking some calls here at 971-533-7111 and taking live questions in our chat room. If you got a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, put that in the chat room with the word question in front of it, and Carrie will be able to grab that and give it to us. But we also like to give you a chance if you've found any other studies out there that we haven't heard about that maybe we could inform us on.
I just reviewed one, but it's still embargoed, so we'll have to wait till next week.
Okay. Another thing that I brought up on the show was this National Cancer Institute website out at cancer.gov. And last week, they had updated their site to talk about the direct anti-tumoral effects of oncologists recommending cannabis therapy to people. And, of course, just a couple days ago, that was taken down. It's been scrubbed and changed quite a bit. Any comments on that story?
See, this really breaks my heart. I mean, as your rant suggested, we had, basically a federal group saying this is what's so, and the data are completely consistent with that, and now it's not there. I mean, if we're not allowed to tell the truth on our federal websites, it's getting really scary as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a sad story. All right. We got questions coming in from the chat room, and one of these references the Dr. Oz show that was on yesterday, and at 45 past, we'll be speaking with Diane Fornbacher from the Normal Women's Alliance. We tried to have her on the show yesterday. She was so gracious to reschedule for today, and, you know, it might actually be a better thing that now that people have had a chance to see it, we can talk about the show. But yesterday on that show, Dr. Oz said approximately 10% of the people that try cannabis end up addicted. In fact, I remember him calling it darn addictive. Our questioner asks, though, what percent of the general population are considered to have addictive personalities anyway?
As it turns out, the whole notion of addictive personality isn't holding up in a lot of our studies. Yeah, there tend to be some folks who are kind of extroverted who may lean towards addictive behaviors, but I think the way to interpret these data is compare it to other drugs. If 9 to 12% of folks who have become regular cannabis users also become essentially dependent, and by that they just mean showing tolerance or withdrawal, how does that stack up to other drugs? Other than the hallucinogens, you know, nobody's coming in saying I'm jonesing for LSD, right?
Right.
Other than the hallucinogens, cannabis is lower than every other drug. Nicotine is way up high near heroin. Alcohol is 20 to 25%. Of regular users become addicted. So, I mean, the notion that 9% is damn addictive is actually kind of ridiculous when you start comparing it to damn near any other substance we have.
Yeah, including the legal pharmaceutical drugs that we're prescribing to people that, you know, even some of our audience members, you know, we talked about one of our chat members who was kicking Effexor, and it's like amazingly addictive and terrible withdrawal symptoms from that. Am I not?
That doesn't count because those are pharmaceuticals.
Okay. Got to get that straight. Okay. Let's go on to another question here. Gothic Prophet wants to know, have you heard of any studies of cannabis treating neuromyocardial syncope? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
If it's the disorder I'm thinking of, it has to do with the way the cardiac arrhythmia is affected by the nerve cells, the nerve messages that go to the heart, and unfortunately we don't have any data on that. Generally, because cannabis increases heart rate, it wouldn't be recommended for folks who have a disorder like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting it from the chat room. They say syncope is how it's pronounced. So cardiomyopathic. Oh, this is terrible. Hard to pronounce it. Neuromyocardial syncope. Okay.
Essentially, it's syncopated, if you will.
Right.
It's not a regular rhythm, and generally cannabis wouldn't be recommended for that just because it tends to increase heart rate.
Okay. I also just thought of a follow-up question on the Dr. Oz show. He showed a little animation of the nerve cells speaking to each other, and he tried to explain how THC modulates pain in this circumstance. And he kind of explained it as the THC molecules plugging up the receptors for pain transmittal. How accurate of a graphic was that?
As it turns out, that's about as good a metaphor as we have, but in fact, the cannabinoid system in pain isn't as well understood as, say, the opiate ones. So if you think about, there's a message that's going to go from one neuron to the next, and a drug can get in the way so that that pain message doesn't come across, that's a reasonable way to explain how a lot of painkillers work. But the idea that that's all that cannabis does in the cannabinoid system is not quite that simple, in part because THC isn't just something that latches onto that CB1 receptor and blocks it or tells it to fire when it shouldn't.
Mm, okay. Well, as good as they could do for a quick explanation for a general audience, though, then.
Given Dr. Oz's background, yeah.
Okay. Well, leave it at that. Mountain Lover has a question here. Can cannabinoid treatments be used to help absorb basic nutrients from food?
Only in the sense that cannabis is going to enhance appetite, and so your opportunity to at least ingest more food and then get more nutrients is certainly going to be improved. But the data on whether or not it actually is going to improve, say, the lining of the digestive tract is still out. However, some of the old data we have on, you know, treating horses and things like that, which I know we've joked about in the past, suggested that that might be a possibility. We just simply don't have the data.
Okay. We're taking questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our cannabis science segment. You can just type them in into the chat room, put the word question in front of them, and then we'll get them through Skype here to Dr. Mitch. And our next question from Zippity Don't asks, does age have an effect on the experience or quality of a person's high?
As it turns out, because cannabis, THC at least, is kind of a weight-based dose, and as you age, the amount of lean body mass tends to decrease, even if you stay the same weight. It does in the sense that the amount that you're actually getting into your body turns out to be higher simply because it's not spread about in fat cells in the same way. So what was formerly, you know, not a lot ends up being a lot because it's not spreading out as far in your body. This is why a lot of older folks say, oh, the pot now is so much stronger than it used to be. In fact, I hate to say it, it's that your muscle tissue is not what it used to be.
I see. Back when you were that buff teenager in the Summer of Love, you weren't getting as high as you are now as the old fat couch potato. Is that what we're saying?
Sad but true.
Okay. A couple of follow-ups on that whole notion of cannabis being addictive or darn addictive, as Dr. Oz said. One asks, is it addictive or just a habit? And the other asks, what's the definition of addiction that they're using? So let's talk about that. When they say, you know, cannabis is addictive for 9% of the users, what are we talking about?
Generally, the hallmark symptoms are dependence and withdrawal. And we're used to drugs like heroin or something like that when we talk about this. The notion that cannabis even creates withdrawal at all was incredibly controversial. And now they say, oh, we've proved it. But when you look at what the measures of withdrawal from cannabis are, there are stupid things like loss of appetite. Oh, gee. You know, and the idea that this is withdrawal, when you think about, you know, somebody who's actually kicking heroin and nauseated and, you know, got diarrhea and their muscles are spasming and stuff like that, to be mildly irritable, craving cannabis and losing some appetite, it's just not the same thing. It really seems an unfair comparison.
Yeah. All right. Question here from ZDilly45. Is it at all possible for someone to not be affected by marijuana as far as the high, that is? Are there people that just can't get high?
It looks like a lot of folks who say I've smoked cannabis and it doesn't work for me actually haven't mastered the inhalation process. So early on we thought, oh, there was some kind of sensitization because experienced users seem to get high in a sense more readily. But really it's they know how big a hit they can take and tend to be able to hold it, whereas folks who aren't experienced smokers don't know how to do that. So they take these little baby hits, or they take one hit, cough it all out, and then say it hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess they need lessons. Oh, well. Okay. Folks, if you don't have time to get your question in, you can always email it to Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com, or you can stop by again next Wednesday. We do this segment every Wednesday as a public service to the cannabis community to get you the real facts about marijuana, cannabis, hemp out there. Time for a couple more here. A Gothic Prophet wants to know, do edibles or other delivery methods also increase heart rate? And I guess in comparison to smoking.
In fact, that is the case. So even if you're not doing an inhalation method, you still get that cannabis-induced increase in heart rate.
Okay. And Hempster 420 wants to know, question on cannabis and ASD. Any research or advice? I'm not sure what ASD is.
I believe they're probably asking about Asperger's.
Oh, okay.
And we've got some, you know, case studies that are actually very compelling and moving as far as I'm concerned, but nothing formal published in the medical literature. That book, Jeffrey's Journey, walks through a kid with autism. Asperger's is kind of a light version of that, if you will. So it's unfortunate that, you know, we haven't done more research on this, but we have some pretty compelling individual cases that suggest it can be helpful, but it's usually kids, and so the response to dosage is incredibly sensitive, and it's the kind of thing where individual strains, the folks at WAM have noticed that some strains are helpful, some are not, so we're really still in the dark on this one.
All right, and one last question here from someone who wishes to remain anonymous asks, I really like to smoke marijuana in the morning, right when I wake up. Does that make me a candidate for cannabis addiction? Should I try to wait until the nighttime? Or as Steve Martin once said, the late, early, mid, early morning?
The key here is just, is it causing you problems in daily life? Are your relationships suffering? Are you screwing up at work? That sort of thing. Obviously, there are, you know, some stimulating strains where that probably wouldn't be an issue, but Recently had a client who came in, thought he had Epstein-Barr because he was tired all the time, when in fact he was doing a lot of waking and baking. And once he laid that off, what a surprise, he had a whole lot more energy in the day.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, author of Understanding Marijuana and other fine books that give you the truth about marijuana, and the new Humor 101 book that I'm about halfway through. We're really enjoying that. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, for joining us every Wednesday here in Cannabis Science.
Always a pleasure.
All right. When we come back, Diane Fornbacher from Normal Women's Alliance and the Normal Newsmakers talking about the Dr. Oz Show. This is Normal Show Live.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, we welcome back to the show from yesterday and our terrible technical difficulties. Dan Fornbacher is doing us a favor and coming back. And Diane, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me
again. Yes, I think we've got a much better connection. I'm so looking forward to talking to you. We all got a chance to see that Dr. Oz medical marijuana show that was on yesterday. Everybody's been talking about it. In an hour or two, we're going to play some clips from it. You were there. You were in the audience. Tell us about your experience.
Well, it was a novel experience. I will say that it was a lot of adjectives that are in opposition with one another. Exciting, traumatizing, angering, confusing, disappointing, exciting again, potentially rage-inducing. I did require a lot of restraint at times.
Yeah, it sounded like it. We heard people in the audience that would start to exclaim something, and then either they were getting edited or, you know, hushed up by their seatmates there. It sounded pretty contentious.
Let's just say that I was very happy the chairs were screwed to the floor because I felt feelings. I don't like feeling.
We have one of those Geraldo Rivera moments. The chairs go flying.
Yeah. It was almost a little bit Springer. It was the combination of, it was very strange.
Now,
you know, on one hand, you thought Dr. Oz was with us. Then other times, you really had no idea where he was coming from. It seemed almost bought and paid for before he even uttered a sentence. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about the makeup of the audience, because what I had read is that there was like a split of, you know, pro-medical marijuana supporters, some of our patients from New Jersey and activists and such, and then on the other side, people from a heroin addiction center or something?
Yes, there was also David Evans, who is, I wouldn't even consider him a nemesis because it's hardly a challenge to debate him. He does a lot of conjecture. He likes to say just random crazy things. He has a strange twitch, which makes me think that he too could benefit from medical cannabis, but unfortunately may never see that. The audience was made up of, activists and medical marijuana patients, also comprised of people they pulled off of the street who are always waiting outside of 30 Rock for some, you know, show, I guess, entry, and then pre-order ticket holders who weren't really aware of what the show was going to be until they sat down. But they also had, you know, the people from the addiction specialties. But David Evans himself also has a practice where he goes around to different, you know, states that have medical marijuana laws, and he has a program called How to Fire Medical Marijuana Patients.
Wonderful. Nice guy. But he didn't make the cut on the final show, though, did he?
He did say some things. He was the creepy guy with the cemetery pallor in the front row with the switch and the glasses.
Okay, that guy.
The evil minister from one of the Exorcist movies who killed all his flock.
I gotcha. Now, I'd also read from your post, and again, I want to let people know that you're the vice chair of the Normal Women's Alliance, and for people that are interested in that, check out normal.org/women. But you're also involved with this great new project, freedomisgreen.com. You're blogging out there. Tell people about that and how they can look that up.
Well, freedomisgreen.com is primarily focused on activism and development for entertainment value on the East Coast. You know, we... Chris Goldstein, with whom many people who are listening are familiar, is the purveyor of this endeavor, and he is a prolific writer and an incredible activist with quad state, national organizations. He's an amazingly prolific activist. He's a very positive influence on a lot of us here in the tri-state area, and this is his baby. So I'm the grassroots activism editor, which essentially means, you know, I write things sometimes or I edit things that come through. I also take photographs at various places where I can't even speak English right now. Forgive me. I have a toddler hanging on my leg. So it's kind of hard to concentrate.
We got mothers in action to end the war on marijuana. This is beautiful.
That's right. Well, I'm doing it for my children's future and their children's future as well as they have them.
Exactly. And that's something I wanted to kind of say. And there's a perfect segue into this with your work with Normal Women's Alliance and why that's important. We've talked about the history and how women were instrumental in ending alcohol prohibition. Tell us what Normal Women's Alliance means to you as a mother and how you combat critics that will say, oh, you know, what about the children? What kind of message are you sending to your children?
Well, I will bring Dr. Osho into this. One of the things I noticed about the prohibitionists were their mantras, and if you can call them that. They used the word fear, the words fear, afraid, children, the phrase wrong message a lot. Mm-hmm. But what I think is the wrong message is to let people suffer. I think sending the wrong message would be to confuse one thing, legalization, with medicinal use. I definitely think both are important. This is a huge civil rights issue, extends into the overall drug war and human rights, as well as touches upon every human endeavor and struggle of evolution that we have. So for me, the Normal Women's Alliance is not only about changing the, and I don't want to say typified stoner image, because I know plenty of wonderfully nice, generous hippies that I love. And so I don't want to say, you know, we don't want to be that, because I love them, mm-hmm. you know. But what we're trying to do is have an inclusionary, beautiful, not exclusive, but an inclusive community of people. And as it stands, many people on the fringe are willing to say, hey, listen, this is what I do, and this is how it's going to be. But mainstream people have a harder time with that. And I think, you know, being an activist for so long and being surrounded by activists myself, sometimes it's hard for us to see that we need to reach out. So the Normal Women's Alliance is about reaching out and reaching in for us to evolve within ourselves and change what we think in order to be able to grow together with people that need to still come along and understand that our philosophy isn't trying to get people to smoke pot or eat pot. It's about them understanding that we require and deserve the same freedoms as taxpaying, responsible, contributive members of society, who some of us happen to have, you know, families that we want to care for.
Excellent. Well spoken. We're speaking with Diane Fornbacher, the vice chair of the Normal Women's Alliance. She was also there at the taping of the Dr. Oz show that everyone saw yesterday and are still talking about. And we'll bring you some clips in hour two. What were some of the things, because I know these tapings go much longer than what we see on the air. What were some of the things, some of the people, experiences that you experienced there at the show that didn't make the air that, boy, you really wish they would have?
Well, Sandy Fayo is one of our patient advocates. And they brought her from her home in New Jersey to talk about how she suffers and how it's hard for her to obtain cannabis simply because our program hasn't been implemented. And I thought the piece was very powerful, but and I have no idea why, but she was cut from the final program. There were a lot of exchanges during breaks. At one point, I was allowed to speak to David Evans and his ilk. and they didn't react. They were very interruptive. They were very rude. Some of the rudest people I've ever met in my life. And I know a lot of people. And they were in rare form, I must say. But when I said to them, you were the one sending the wrong message. You're not very compassionate people, and you're not operating from logic at all. They didn't respond to me. They didn't even look at me. Because the cameras weren't on.
Right, right. So
that's something I wish that we'd been able to do. They invited a lot of us from the pro-medical marijuana community, specifically in New Jersey, as Dr. Oz is a resident of New Jersey, and they with the promise that we would have direct interaction with Dr. Oz, and we would also be able to ask questions. But that didn't happen. And I thought that was rather rude, because we were very, very passionate, and we tried very much to help the associate producer attain people to not only appear on the guest panel, but to be in the audience to ask educated and experienced questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame, because, you know, we know that this could be a whole week-long series that Dr. Oz could do on this, but they only get the, I guess, what, about 44 minutes on the air, so we don't get to see or hear all the voices.
Yeah, we were there for 4 hours. Now, they do have some segments that are online. So, you know, if people want to find out about that, you know, check their internet connection. I mean, Dr. Oz show has, you know, the results will pop up right away, where they have a few segments that they did film while we were there that didn't go onto the show. But, you know, there was one where the guy was obviously experienced with cannabis, and the segment was how to tell if your teenager is addicted to or experimenting with marijuana. Well, you know, when I watch segments like that, I really don't think they serve as an educational tool for parents. They serve as an educational tool for kids on either what not to do or how to do it better.
Yeah, very, very well spoken. We've spoken to many people of the DARE generation who say just that about DARE, that it was really like, oh,
I am
really?
One of those people.
Yeah. So
I am of the DARE generation. And you know, when they passed around the drug samples in the lockbox, I must say, in retrospect, having sampled some of the finest weed in this country myself, that was like lawnmower shavings. It was brown and dusty. I don't even know if it was really weed. I think they turned their lawnmower over and just like scraped it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
I totally understand that. And
took some cow cut or something, I don't know, and dried it out.
Now there was one person there in the other side of the audience, let's say, named Max. I didn't catch his last name, Schwartzberg or something like that. Max, was on the show and was
Schwartzmanberger or something.
There we go. And he was very disruptive and kind of just dominated the segment there. Tell us, was there anything more from Max that didn't make the cut?
He basically dribbled, interrupted, and shouted pretty much the whole time. At one point, and you didn't see this on camera, people were chanting, kick him out, kick him out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and somebody even said, shut the F up, you're rude, go home.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so it was very, very, you know, Karina Cellini from Pot Couture and Cannabis Times was there as well. And, you know, she and I arrived together. I stayed with her in Brooklyn, and we rode over on the train together. And when we left, we were really shaken. You know, we have done some media calls before. I have debated some pretty rough characters, and you know, I'm experienced with the media, but I must say this is a rather unique, disturbing, and strange experience, and I may have developed some PTSD, which I must treat with some THC at some point in the very near future as a result of this show.
I think so. And you mentioned the Pot Couture magazine, and we were showing on the web screen here earlier the Pot Couture photo shoot that you were a part of.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just want to know if there's any new developments with Pot Couture and the Normal Women's Alliance, and what's next for you?
Well, we do a lot of concentric postings. I forget her name. I don't want to use her real name because she also has a pseudonym. But they feature some of the activities that we do, and you know, if they have any endeavors, we feature them. You know, activism is about concentric and parallel support. You know, there are a lot of people who feel a competition with one another in this movement, but what's going to really move the movement forward, and this relates to Pot Couture, the NWA, the women's marijuana movement, and all of that, we almost work together, simply because we're riding the same wave to the shore, and, you know, if you're a slight ripple, your movement. But if you are a wave, you will crash upon the shore and you will change the landscape. And so that's something that we have to keep in mind. So I just wanted to say that the women of Pot Couture, very fancy, but also very kind and very active and very motivated. And I think they're very inspiring to a lot of women who haven't seen that before, you know, fancy lady stoners.
Yeah. We're loving it. We love the image. We love everything you're doing. The folks in the chat room, 200 live listeners right now, are also really appreciative of what you're doing. Diane Fornbacher, Vice Chair of the Normal Women's Alliance. Check them out at normal.org/women. And Diane, thanks for joining us again and putting up with the tech difficulties we had yesterday. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much. You owe me a nug. Bye.
I do. We're also looking forward to Karina and the folks at Cannabis Times. They've got a podcast that's going to be a part of the Normal Network. We'll get some more women's voices here on the network. That's going to be awesome. Coming up in hour two, we've got video from that Dr. Oz show, some stuff that wasn't on the TV, as well as maybe some chance to rant against Gateway Gill in Buffalo, New York. All right, folks. John Doe Radio has Governor Gary Johnson in studio?
Yes,
In studio for today's show, so check that out.
Maybe over the phone. Don't take my word on it.
Maybe over the phone. We're not sure. But check that out at 6 o'clock on the Normal Network coming up later. And for those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.